SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in, a very happy Wednesday to you. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Thanks for stopping by as we've got ourselves a loaded slate of games here today. Major League Baseball action already off and running. We had 17 games in total, including a couple of doubleheaders. Game ones underway right now. We see the Yankees on top of the Angels, 5-0. Oh, and by the way, the Diamondbacks refuse to lose. And the Guardians, on the other hand, refuse to win. The Guardians have already lost game one of this doubleheader early today, 7-3. They are now losing 5-3 and are in pretty serious danger right now at Progressive Field of losing what, five out of their last six out of their last seven. It's not a good situation for the Guardians right now, but it could also be, and give credit to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who started slow this year. And, you know, I feel like I often have to remind folks, you do realize this was the team that represented the National League in the World Series just a year ago. This is a pretty good team, gaining a lot of momentum and doing it with the bats on the road against a darn good Guardians team, who happen to have been one of the best teams in Major League Baseball at home. But it doesn't seem to bother the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll keep you posted on that game number two right now. But 5-3 in the top of the seventh. We mentioned, of course, the Yankees were rained out yesterday. So Louis Gil doing an amazing job. Five, although when you get a five-run lead, pretty easy stuff there. Yankees will have a second game coming up after this one, so we'll talk more about the Major League Baseball slate. And oh yeah, in case you were wondering, could it be? Would it be? Would the White Sox, after losing 21 straight, actually win back-to-back games? No. 3-2, they just lost to the Athletics. Mason Miller back on the mound for the Athletics. The stud closer gets it done there, as the Athletics have now started a new losing streak for the White Sox with a 3-2 win there. Plenty of Olympic action already here today, including the United States women's national basketball team, as they continue just pure dominance. Once again today, 88-74 over Nigeria in the quarterfinals of these Paris Olympics this morning. They have now won, get this, 59 straight Olympic games. 59 straight. They have not lost an Olympic basketball game since 1992. They are going for a historic eighth consecutive gold medal and will continue in a semifinal matchup against Australia, and that is coming up on Friday. And we'll have much more on this coming up. Carlin Gay of the Sporting News will stop in. We'll get his thoughts on Asia Wilson and the crew there, and what are the chances of them getting that record eighth straight gold medal. It's looking pretty good right about now. We also had plenty of great action today, track and field-wise, and it all started a little bit earlier today in the 200-meter final, where Noah Lyles has advanced, and the team, of course, will be in the 200-meter final. That is set for Thursday. How would you think about how fast this is? A 200-meter final in 20 seconds. Watch the replays and you tell me if you could do that in 2.5 days. Unbelievable job there by, of course, Team USA, who is racking up the medals. And I guess that should really be a surprise to nobody. Isn't that exactly what we have been talking about and what we have expected? We are looking to dominate across the board, and that's exactly what we're doing as the medals continue to get racked up here, as Team USA leading in both the full medal count, and I believe right now that is up to 94 medals here for the United States, total medals, a distant second is China with 65. And look at that, 27 gold medals. Now the leader in golds and in full and total medal count. And they will continue to keep adding to this. I don't see, obviously, both sides of the basketball teams not bringing home the gold. So I would expect much more gold coming our way here with Team USA. And a really just an unbelievable finish today by Quincy Hall. Team USA once again on the track in the 400 meter. And when you see this, it's going to be, it was like watching all the way from the clouds, like a closing racehorse coming from the clouds in order to get gold. That is what Quincy Hall did in the 400 meter. Unbelievable. Didn't even see him, quite honestly, on the screen when you watch the replay, but unbelievable that he had a little left in the tank, came by fifth fastest time ever in the event. And that is just a second gear that not many people have, but guess what? Quincy Hall does, and he is a gold medal winner for Team USA. Also crushing it in cycling as the USA atop New Zealand to win and now have a shot, of course, at gold medal in cycling. It's amazing how many of these events, these track and field events, like canoeing we've talked about, cycling, so many different types of events in the Olympics here. And I don't know, I was never a big Olympic person. And then I really started to watch the way they have this all lined up. And if you're a fan of sports on any level, it's kind of hard not to actually really enjoy this. From table tennis across the board, this has been a pretty great Olympics, I'll tell you that. The storylines have been writing themselves. And the fact that Team USA is dominant in the pool, in gymnastics, I mean, you name it, we are crushing it. And you got to love that, too. Even pole vault, by the way, as Katie Moon gets the silver there in the pole vaulting here earlier today. So weightlifting, you name it. Team USA continues to light up the board. And don't forget, we do have women's golf still going on. We know, of course, Scottie Scheffler taking home the gold earlier in the Olympics. And now the women looking to get it done as well. Cam Stewart will be by this hour. We'll get his thoughts on some of this women's Olympic golf, not to mention, of course, we have the final, what feels like the final regular season PGA Tour event in the Wyndham Championship getting ready to tee off tomorrow. And then, of course, the FedEx Cup, the playoffs for the PGA Tour will begin the following week. So still plenty of golf left to get going. And we have got you covered here, as always, on the Sports Grid Network. And out of the NFL, let's not forget, week one, preseason, on its way. Tomorrow, Friday, we will have football back in our lives. And some unfortunate news today coming out of Falcons camp as Rondale Moore carted off with just what looked like a absolutely devastating leg injury. He was in an air cast on his right leg. It was a joint practice. And it appears that they ended up canceling practice. The 24-year-old wideout was actually having a fantastic camp, by all indications, here for Atlanta. Him, along with Drake London, Darnell Mooney, this was supposed to be the new look. Atlanta Falcons wide receiving crew, and more, of course, coming over from Arizona in the offseason. And it was just not a good look, not good news for Rondale Moore. And if we hear anything else more on that, we'll, of course, let you know. But we got football coming up, plenty more Major League Baseball, some golf, more Olympics, including Team USA and the women's side. What is next for them? Is it a gold? We'll have more on that as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in on this Wednesday. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. And as we told you, plenty of Major League Baseball action still to come. We've got football, the NFL back in our lives. It won't be very long before college football is back in our lives. But we still got a lot of Olympics to go here as the ceremonies will close on August 11th. And that means, hopefully, the women's and the men's side in basketball will be getting their gold medals. And joining us, Carlin Gay, there of the Sporting News. Him and I were just laughing, Carlin, trying to figure out, all right, can we actually make a case for somebody else winning gold in either the men or women without laughing? And we both decided that's not going to happen. So let's talk about today and what we just witnessed again. I'm trying to wrap my head around 59 consecutive Olympic game wins. They haven't lost a game since 1992. We're talking an eighth consecutive gold medal. They were, I think, 4 minutes into this game, and it was 6-4, and they never trailed after that. I mean, just pure domination from this team.
Yeah, it's special. It really is special. And I think we're taking it for granted right now, right? Like we talk about the win streak as if it's something that happens every day, that we see it all the time. Like this is not just a win streak that's just consecutive over years. This is a 4-year gap between each beginning win streak. And it's a 4-year gap between a new team. Like it's not the same group of 12 that are going out there and dominating. This is a new group of 12 that, you know, that is coming together for this Olympic Games. And the games aren't even close, Joe. Like, that's the thing that's really impressive about this streak. Like, you mentioned, like, it's news that they lost, you know, the first 3 minutes of this basketball game. Not even the whole quarter. The first 3 minutes of this basketball game was like, ooh, it's close right now. And that's news, right? So it's not just the win streak. It's the dominance over time. But it's also the fact that these games are not close. Like, teams aren't even coming within 10. So what Nigeria did today, it was actually pretty impressive to put up the fight that they did. But you know, it was a very comfortable win for Team USA once again. And the women are just cruising to another gold medal.
34 field goals, 31 assists. I mean, the brand of basketball, Carl, is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Dream Team, and you want to talk about dominance. Just, this is now, think of the Dream Team for like 10 years straight. Like, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And remember, we couldn't deal without Angel Reese. Remember, how dare they not put them on the All-Star? They don't need them. That's the funny part about it. But they've got Australia coming up, looking ahead there. What do you think we're going to get here? What kind of, in the semifinals, what kind of resistance are we looking at?
Well, we would have got a better game had Australia had Beck Allen in this tournament. Beck Allen's a phenomenal basketball player. We know her as a WNBA. I won't call her a star, but definitely a role plus player, right? Like she's just under that star caliber player. But you know, in FIBA play, those types of players become superstars when they play for their national team. And Beck Allen had it rolling. I did the pre-qualification games for the Olympic Games back in Brazil, back in February, and she led this team. She's just a phenomenal shooter. You just have to be able to guard her offensively. And then defensively, she's one of the few Australians that actually matches up with the length and size and athleticism that Team USA brings to the table. The Aussies have some size, but they don't have that size and athleticism combination, you know, across the board like Team USA has. And without Beck Allen, that's another negative against them. So they're going to miss Beck Allen in this one. I had Australia, you know, standing on the podium prior to the tournament. I predicted them to win one medal, and that was before Beck Allen got hurt. Nigeria went out and shocked the world and beat them in game number one. You saw what Team USA did to Nigeria. Expect the same for Team USA here against Australia. You know, Australia, their best chance is to shoot a lot of threes and hope they go in to keep it close. But even that is a long shot victory for them.
All right, so go ahead, lay it out. We'll open the crystal ball here. Let's get it going and tell me when it's all said and done, gold, silver, bronze, what order are we looking at here in women's hoops?
Yeah, I have, you know, Team USA, unless the WNBA All-Stars show up to the Olympic Games as a country, Team USA is going to win the gold medal, right? Like, that is the only team that has a shot of beating them. So Team USA wins gold without question. And then bronze, I have Belgium. Silver, I had Belgium, because that matchup between France and Belgium in the semifinals, the second semifinals, France has the home court advantage. We know that. But Belgium has the best player that is not playing in the WNBA right now in Emma Messiman. And she was terrific today, once again, demolishing Spain. They really walked through Spain. I thought that was going to be the game of the day in terms of being close and competitive. It wasn't. You know, Belgium really put the boots to Spain, who had a 3-0 record coming into that game, and they made it look easy. So I expect them to send the French crowd home disappointed with a loss in the semifinals. So Belgium in the final against Team USA, they'll take the silver. And then I'm going to go with France. I just told you that Australia is going to step on the podium, but you know the loss of Beck Allen is just too much. She's just brings so much to the table. So I have France walking home with bronze. So USA gold, Belgium silver, and then France walks home with the bronze.
And who do you think, when it's all said and done, the most total points? Asia Wilson? I don't know who else would be. I mean, Breanna Stewart, I guess, but it just feels like she's going to walk away with just about everything at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, the way things are set up, right? Like, Asia Wilson is going to end up taking the most amount of shots because she dominates the bigs on the other team, right? So you saw her today. She was just unbelievable. Nigeria just didn't have the size to compete with her. Another 20-point game for her. So and a double-double. I had Breanna Stewart. I laid the juice on Breanna Stewart in terms of going into this Olympic Games at MVP odds. I had her at plus 40 or plus 340, I believe, before the tournament started. Obviously, you see the numbers there. They're whittled down to plus 118. I still take my chances there. There's two games left. Breanna Stewart could get in there, and she could fill it up. I don't want to bet on Asia Wilson. That just seems like the easy way out. I like Breanna Stewart to finish these next two games. Give her at least 15 points in both those games, and there's a shot there because defensively she's been terrific. So hopefully the voters actually appreciate what she does on the defensive end.
I think it's you're right. You know, sometimes we take it for granted, but we're watching pure domination here, and they're making it look easy, and we know better than that, Carl. It's not easy to dominate the world in any sport, and that's exactly what this team is doing. Carl, we appreciate the time as always, my man. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you again soon. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. A pleasure to be with you here on this Wednesday evening as we are getting ready for at least the next three slate of games here in Major League Baseball. First pitch just a few moments away. A lot of early baseball doubleheaders on the docket, 17 games in total here right now. The Yankees giving up some runs here in the top of the seventh. It's a 5-2 Yankee lead right now. In the meantime, Diamondbacks looking to sweep the Guardians and continue this monster run that they are on since the All-Star break. The Diamondbacks up 5-3, already won game one. We'll see if they can complete the sweep here as the Guardians are coming up here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Coming up next here in just about 10 minutes, a couple of good ones, in fact, with the Padres taking on the Pirates. That's going to be in just about 10 minutes or so. Michael King versus Marco Gonzalez in that one. You also have Abbott going up against the rookie Belozo there for Miami. The Reds have just been all over Miami. We'll see if that can continue. And how about it? Fresh off that no-no, Blake Snell taking on Ervin of Washington. A lot of early money fading Blake Snell in this one, which is interesting. And I will say the Washington Nationals as of late have been great against left-handed pitching, and we all know what the saying is, right? Pitchers generally take a step back after pitching the no-nos, but we just saw Dylan Cease win his next game after pitching a no-hitter, and quite honestly, are we really trusting the Washington lineup, especially since they just smoked the Giants yesterday? Are we expecting back-to-back bad outings for the Giants? That would be a big ask with Snell on the mound. And of course, we also have game two of the Yankees. As soon as this one's over, will happen pretty quickly right after that. And the Yankees looking to continue their winning ways to keep pace with the Baltimore Orioles. In Olympic news, by the way, we do have an updated list of the most gold medals for athletes here, and China is up on top there with Zhang Yufei with one gold. Look at this, 5 silver and 6 bronze. That is a absolute haul, people, of 6 total medals. Marchand, of course, in the pool for France has been, 4 golds, really, 1 bronze there. He's got 5. Torrey Husk also in the pool there. Fantastic showing here in the Olympics. 3 golds, 2 silver, no bronze. And then you'll see at the bottom there with Simone Biles. 3 gold medals in this one. 1 silver and 4 total medals. So some outstanding individual efforts in the Olympics here. And the team, well, the team games, we just talked about the women's basketball team getting ready to take on Australia. And then hopefully they'll have another gold medal, as will the men who fairly easily took care of Brazil yesterday. And that really didn't even look like they broke a sweat in doing so. And they are looking, of course, to cash in on gold in these Olympics. So I do believe August 11th is when it all wraps up, which puts us just about 4 days away here as we'll get ready for the weekend. But my goodness, anybody that was worried about laying the 26.5, really was no need to, because Brazil was never in that game. Will that change for Team USA and the men? I do not think so. But the good news is, as we round out the Olympics in epic fashion, again, 94 total medals for the U.S. currently, and leading in the gold medal department, which is really how the Olympics are judged, especially for Team USA. 27 gold, which is 2 better than China right now, and which is, I believe, 9 better than Australia. The home country, France, coming in with 50 total medals and 13 gold medals there. A really good showing by the host nation, France, there. But it's really been all about Team USA, and we are hoping they're going to be able to add to all of it here in the next 4 days and make it a very successful Paris Games for Team USA. We've got much more to get to as far as the NFL goes. Is Brandon Ayuk still a 49er? Is he a Pittsburgh Steeler? Who wants him? Why isn't anybody trading for him? A lot of questions. We'll see if we can come up with some answers as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, getting ready for the next slate of games to start here in what was a loaded card of Major League Baseball, thanks to a bunch of rainouts yesterday. We are still looking to finish Game 2 here with the Guardians in Arizona. It's 5-3 right now. Arizona a couple of outs away from being able to sweep the Guardians. Been a rough stretch here for the Guardians, not so much for Arizona. And the Yankees are taking a 5-2 lead into the bottom of the seventh inning. We're joined by our good friend George Kurtz here, getting ready for this next slate of games here, including the Pirates getting ready to take on the Padres here, as well as Snell, his first start, Kurtz, after the no-no. We had this conversation about Dylan Cease a couple of weeks ago, right? And then what'd he do? Well, he went out and won another game. No problem there. Are you expecting a downward progression from Snell in this one against Washington?
Well, he's not going to have another no-hitter, so that would therefore be a downward progression, right? I mean, all right, we'll go with that. He's not going to be Johnny Vandermeer here, so I don't think he is. It would make it a much more exciting Wednesday night if he does here. I expect Snell to pitch well. He was pitching well before the no-hitter, right? Had the big start where he struck out 15 guys and got 18 outs, 15 of them by strikeout. So he was already pitching well before that. He seems to have turned that corner. You know, before that, he was lousy, right? Most of the season, he's been lousy, hurt, whatever it might be here, whether it's because he missed spring training, whatever it might be. So, yes, I think he pitches well tonight. Ramos back in the lineup for San Fran. We like that. Had the home run last night. They need all the offense they can get. My only problem with Snell, and I'm on San Fran tonight. My only problem with Snell is he could pitch great and lose 2-1 because you just don't know if the offense is going to show up for San Fran. That's my only worry about Snell tonight. Hey, what I like even more about Snell, left-hander, he should be able to keep the two best bats from Washington in check, C.J. Abrams and James Wood.
I agree with you there. I think Snell will be just – and by the way, it's not like that no-hitter came out of left field. He was coming off a, what, 15-strikeout effort the game prior. He is in a zone here, folks, and I don't think that changes against this Washington team. The Padres quietly becoming the best team in the National League nobody is talking about, and Michael King has been a huge unsung hero in that effort. He'll be on the mound taking on the Pirates in what was just a stupid game yesterday. Start the game, Dylan Cease goes an inning. Then we got like a rain delay. Then you don't see Dylan Cease anymore. And voila, the Padres bats still win. Boy, oh boy. I mean, Michael King versus Marco Gonzalez. Is there any reason why I'm not backing San Diego here?
I'm backing San Diego, so I'm not going to give you one. And yesterday was one of those weird days, right? Because there were a lot of complaints about, oh, I want to get all my Dylan Cease bets refunded here. Da, da, da. I mean, I got to tell you, Joe, isn't that part of the gamble? I mean, we can all check weather reports. This wasn't a shock that it was going to rain in Pittsburgh. We all knew this was a possibility. I mean, you got the hurricane, whatever they're calling the hurricane down there. It's right now, I think it's stalled on the Carolinas, right? So it was going to rain on the East Coast. In my mind, that's always part of the gamble there. If you don't like it, don't bet on it. All right, go to a fight another game. There's plenty of other games to follow there. You know, another funny thing, if Juan Soto doesn't re-sign with the Yankees, San Diego might end up winning that deal because Michael King is a really good pitcher. He's not going to develop into an ace. I don't see that happening. But I think he could be a number two. You know, you table that with all the other guys the Padres got in the deal, the Vasquez's of the world. They already traded Drew Thorpe. But they could end up winning that deal if – once again, Soto doesn't re-sign with the Yankees. They're funny how that works out. And, of course, if the Yankees don't win the World Series this year. So San Diego's playing great. I mean, Arizona, you just mentioned earlier, is playing great. Dodgers going to be like, what? You know, WTF, man. This was a lot more fun a month ago here. Now we have a lot of company up here. Yeah, I like the Padres in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you here. And Michael King, they showed the stats. It was a rough March, a better April, even better May, a unbelievable June. July has been – he has gotten better and better as the season has progressed for them. But you know what? So is their record, and they are chasing the Dodgers. I wouldn't sleep on them just yet. The Padres with that bullpen are a real team. The Marlins, not a real team. However, the Marlins – have to take on Andrew Abbott. And the only thing you need to know in this game here, Kurtz, is that Abbott's a lefty. And the Marlins are 8-30 this season against left-handed starting pitching. So I guess being the chalky kind of player you are, we're going with the Reds here tonight, maybe? A little bit? No?
Listen, even if I wasn't the chalky guy, I tend to like to bet against the Marlins anyway. I mean, to tell you the truth, Joe, you got to give them a lot of credit. They were actually hitting the ball pretty well. It was just they traded the entire team away, and I didn't expect that. Yep. They beat Atlanta 2-3 over the weekend. Took a big bath on that. Thank you so much. Yep. So they've actually played better than I thought. That being said, maybe it's coming more back to what we expect now, right? This week hasn't been as good for them. So, yeah, I'm on the Reds tonight again. I knew the stat you brought up about Abbott, how bad they are against left-handed pitching. Now, granted, in some ways you can throw that stat out, because it's a different team now. I get it. Still, I'm going to go with the Reds tonight. They have more to play for. I took the Reds on the money line and the run line, something I generally don't do with so-so teams. But the price on the run line, I want to think, was plus 132. So I figured, hey, you know what? I think they're going to win anyway. Just get that extra run here. So go Reds by two.
Unbelievable here. Arizona, by the way, runner on second here, top of the ninth inning. Barlow is in. They are just cruising here, Kurtz, and they're doing it with the bats and Corbin Carroll's finally. I mean, this lineup and offensively, outside of the Yankees, nobody has been hitting better, scoring more runs than Arizona. They end up sweeping the Guardians here. Are we sleeping on them as well? I mean, everyone's focused on the Dodgers. Here's the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and what, we're supposed to pretend they're not capable of winning anything?
This is a, I mean, once again, if they close this out here, this is a hell of a win or a hell of a statement by them, right? They will have swept Cleveland in Cleveland, a doubleheader sweep. All right. I mean, what are the odds on that? Anyone have numbers on that before the series started here? I mean, and Cleveland, we're talking the team that had the best record in the American League before the series started. Yeah, this is sort of an announcement here. And, you know, the Diamondbacks did the same thing last year, sort of came out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere to do the damage they're doing here. So maybe we shouldn't be so surprised. If not for Shohei Ohtani, you know, and the numbers he's putting up, we might be talking about Ketel Marte for MVP. He's having that good a season. I know Corbin Carroll didn't play all that well in April, part of May, but since then, he's been fine, just like he was last year. All right, Gurriel's giving them some hitting. Now, they did suffer a big loss, I want to think, say, in the game Monday, when their catcher, Gabriel Moreno, went on the IL with the groin injury. That's a huge loss for them. But if they can withstand that, yeah, this is a team to be reckoned with. And one more thing about the Padres, by the way. Fernando Tatis should be back in about 7 to 14 days with them, certainly by the end of the month.
Yes.
You're talking an MVP caliber player returning to your team. That's like another big trade addition.
Absolutely crazy. Keep an eye on the Padres. Keep an eye on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And keep an eye on this Orioles team here where, interesting. I mean, what, the O's we got last night had a late scratch, right? Pitching change here. Trevor Rogers tonight, second start. What are we thinking here?
I'm thinking runs. All right, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking runs are coming today. All right, I think Francis is pitching for Toronto as well. You got to think runs are coming here. So I think we're going to get runs. Right now, the Orioles are they're biting their nails, right? Because they're worried about Grayson Rodriguez. If Rodriguez, that lat injury, which we all know a lat injury for a baseball player, pitcher or hitter, is always awful. That's always seems to be 6 to 8 weeks maybe. But if he's out the 8 weeks, if he can't pitch in the playoffs or he can't start, remember, if he's out 6 to 8 weeks, he ain't starting in the playoffs. He can only throw a couple of innings.
Correct.
He'll ramp up. You know, that would be a gruesome, I mean, it's an awful injury for them. Probably the worst injury they could possibly have other than Corbin Burns. All right, this would be, worse than Henderson because they don't have the starting pitching depth. Isn't this why we all cried at the deadline for them to add more pitching? You added Eflin, great job. I thought they should have gone out and added one more starter here. And like I said, if Grayson Rodriguez is hurt, any kind of severity, if it's anything more than, you know, your 3 weeks, this team's going to be in a lot of trouble and maybe they don't win the American League East.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct, George, because they could have gone out and gotten whatever they needed. They had the assets, and they instead decided to do nothing. And another injury, and here we go. All right, George, we appreciate it as always. Game's underway. We'll talk to you again as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game time decisions on a Wednesday, and we are excited here as we've got Major League Baseball, football is back in our lives here. But let's not forget, we still got one more regular season PGA Tour event happening here this week. And then, of course, the FedEx Cup and the playoffs begin. All of that should be a whole lot of fun to watch unfold and an interesting tournament. And no doubt, the man who is going to give you a first-round leader bet that you need to bet right now, and all he does is cash tickets, provided Scotty Scheffler's not in a tournament. Cam Stewart is in the house here with a Wyndham Championship. Is he in a tournament?
No, thank God. Maybe his brother is, but like that's a better introduction I've ever got from my family or girlfriend, Joe. So I appreciate you reaching out for me. And I got to tell you, Joe, I'm still basking in the glory of breaking the White Sox losing streak last night as I was called insane by Wetzel on the show and others. But you know what? Once in a while, a blind squirrel gets a nut. And it was kind of crazy. Before I went to bed, I'm like, you know, the ladies golf. Like, what about that Boutier girl? She's from France. And then I just, I don't know what I did. I added it to the ticket. So and she's actually the first round leader at 7 under, but wish I gave that one on the show. That sometimes you do after the show. You're like, maybe I'll just add a couple more to the tick. And this time it worked. Usually I'm donating. But, Joe, we got the Wyndham this week. A lot of guys need to make some money. They got to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs here. So this is a big week for a lot of guys. No Scheffler. That's good for the betting. But let's start things off, Joe. With, and this course, you know, North Carolina, nice and short. You can get these beautiful small ball hitters. You got to keep it in play here. And that's the big thing. It brings into a lot of guys. And you don't need the bombers. You don't need the Rorys, like the Brendan Todds of the world, the Brian Harmons of the world, the plotters. That's what we could do with this course. So we'll start to talk about the Wyndham and Brian Harmon right off the top, the Georgia Bulldog at 32-1. I love him. I talk about him all the time. And this guy has a perfect game for this course. When it's like 7,000 yards, we talk. Old guys can do well here, too. Ashkay Batea is a small course wonder at 35-1. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate this. They're expecting a lot of water. What's the defense? Thompson's Water Seal. Davis Thompson has already won this year. Great product and a great price at 35-1. Joe likes to relax after a night of just cruising on the water, getting golden brown with a Ryan Ginger. Aaron Rye at 40-1. I got to tell you, Joe, I've been betting this guy probably till the day I die. If Eric Cole wins and I'm alive, I'm basically going to be jumping through a window. So I'll put him on this week. He's actually a perfect fit for this track at 70-1. And Novak Djokovic won gold. How about Andrew Novak? One of these guys, kind of an underrated player on tour, needs to do some damage. And he's actually pretty good. When he's in the mix, he comes through and makes money. So those are the picks at the Wyndham, Joe. I got some other guys for you, too. Sungjae Im is the chalk. I think he'll do well. But I like him more for a top 10 at plus 145. You know, he's a guy that doesn't really close the door all the time. Siwoo Kim, another people that in the golf world really respect this week. I'm in the top 10 market with him, basically in top 20s, plus 125, even better. The Bezuidenhout adventure. Watch out for Christian Bezuidenhout. All he does is hit it smooth. If his putter's good, I love the top 20. And Ashkay Batea, we like him to win. We'll take him for a top 20 at an absolute insane price. Carver and I talked about it, Joe. I'm surprised he's 35. In this field, I thought he'd be around 20, 22 to 26 type of a thing. I think he's getting disrespected in the betting field. Top 40, Mac Meisner, one of the younger upstarts on the tour, playing really good golf and wants to keep it going. And I like two old guys, Kuchar this week. He loves money. And Ryan Moore won this event back in 2009. It doesn't matter about length. Ryan Moore for a top 40 at plus 210. I'm in, Joe. That's what I'm doing. First round leader bombs. This is where we're at. We could put more money, Joe, and just roll it into final Olympic picks, because that's what we do. Instead of putting it in the bank like a smart investor, we like to go bananas. So what are we going to do here? First round leaders. I'm going to take a shot with Batea coming out of the gate like a horse wire to wire. 50-1, Cam Davis. The Australian's a notorious Thursday warrior. He is 55-1. Keegan Bradley, another guy that likes to come out of the gate with a lot of fire. He is 66-1. Eric Cole, 70. Novak 90. And this one's for you, Mike Carver. Matt Neesmith. Like, who the hell's Matt? Well, the guy actually comes. He's a very good Thursday, Friday player. You might not see him on the weekend, but 125-1. That fits the bill, Joe. Good luck at the Wyndham. Hopefully we can win money and I could stay at a Wyndham instead of a Motel 6 or the ditch.
We're going to know right off the bat that first round leader hits again. Don't worry, Kay. It's going to be we're going to kick it up a notch with some gold points there. Let me ask you, am I crazy to think at 100-1, maybe the guy who won the tournament last year, Lucas Glover, might be worth I would hate that to happen, Cam, where all of a sudden we're like, oh, the guy who won it last year just went back to back and nobody played him.
Think about Lucas Glover. You know, Joe, his ball striking is impeccable. Like, his hands are the size of, like, absolute, like, old-school hockey players with those mitts. So I think he will be there. The question with Glover, always putting. If he putts average, Joe, you know he could be there. But his putting could be really, really poor, and he misses a lot of five, six-footers. You can't do that this week. So he's a guy that I like. I'm actually very scared of Matt Kuchar. Like, and people are like, old man Kuchar's getting no respect. He's been playing really well, too, Joe. Take a look at his results, like top 10s and top 20s all over the board. The question is, can he do it for four rounds? But, you know, when a course is barely over 7,000 yards, a lot of these guys that don't hit it long are going to be fine this week, which I really like, because we don't have to take these guys that just destroy courses with their wedge. I prefer the methodical thinkers this week. And we see a lot of those guys, the Brendan Todds of the world, right? And that's why I like Eric Cole. I've been coming back to him. But the thing about Glover is he hits it pretty long, pretty straight. It's all about the putting for him, Joe. And you know golf really, really well. If this guy putts at an average level, he'll be in the mix.
Yes.
I looked at Glover long and hard.
I'm seeing a lot of guys this week are focused in on another old guy, right? Billy Horschel, who I think is the second or third favorite here, coming off of what he did at the British Open here. He played well at this tournament for a while. Do you trust him, or do you think he peaked there in the last one?
A lot of travel, Joe. You know, great performance.
Yeah, two overs.
Billy Horschel's been doing well. He plays well in Europe, but now you're coming back to America. He fits the course really well. I just don't know about, you know, how healthy he's going to be or how much energy he has left, because he's been playing great golf and dangerous. If he's into it, he could be there. Baseball tonight, I like Kirk Kurtz's picks, Joe. We went ran the table last night. I hope I can do it again, because I'll give you some losers. But last night was a night of winners. We're going to take the Cincinnati Reds like Kurtz. I like the over 9.5 in the Blue Jays game. And I'll lay 35 cents with the Royals with cheese in that game. If you're looking for a small pooch, give me the Tampa Bay Rays, even money against the Redbirds. Let's rock.
Taj Bradley, I'm all on it with you there, Cam. All right, let's cash those tickets. That Motel 6 ain't paying for itself.
Yes.
Cam Stern, we love you, brother. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network as we looked around out this first hour together. Much to get to here. The Guardians making a little bit of a comeback here, at least they're hoping to. They got two outs, runners on first and second, down two, about to get swept by the Diamondbacks in the bottom of the ninth unless they can come up with a big hit here. The Yankees came up with plenty of big hits as game one of their doubleheader against the Angels, 5-2 right now, and they are heading to the top of the ninth. Game two of that series of that doubleheader will take place within the hour here. So we'll keep you posted on that. We'll talk much more Major League Baseball coming up here tonight. Some of those earlier games off and running. The Marlins, for all we talked about their troubles, going 8-30 this year against left-handed starting pitching. Well, they're off 1-0 so far against the Reds in the bottom of the first. That was quick. No score in the Padres and the Pirates. Also, Blake Snell on the mound. His first start after that unbelievable no-no. I mean, this has been a stretch for Blake Snell. One of the best runs we've seen from a guy who, by the way, nobody wanted in the offseason. Nobody wanted to pay him. He had to sign on late to the Giants because his agent, Scott Boras, couldn't figure out what to do or where to go. Nobody wanted to give him up. So he ends up with the Giants, and voila, the guy is having an absolutely ridiculous season here for the Giants, and I fully anticipate he'll have some success coming up tonight here against this Nats team. The Orioles and Blue Jays set to take off here in just a couple of minutes. Also, the Braves. What happened to the Braves? My goodness. Just when you thought they figured some things out at the plate, that game last night happened against the Brewers, and that was just disgusting. Anybody who had the over, like I did, at 8.5 or 9, you are a big Brewers fan here today, because they ended up handling the over for you by themselves. But they got Chris Sale going up against Freddy Peralta, a couple of aces going in this one. We'll see if, in fact, it's going to go up and over tonight. That would require the Braves. I don't know if they noticed, you have to score runs to win games, Braves. That's how it works there. And also, we told you the Yankees game number two. Will Warren will be on the mound for the Yankees going up against Fulmer, but they are once again a monster. And I mean a monster favorite in that game number two. The Rays and the Cards is the other 7 o'clock hour on the East Coast here. That game will start at about 7:40 Eastern time. Tampa on the road at Busch Stadium. Taj Bradley, love this kid, for Tampa Bay, going up against Eric Fetty. That's right, his second start in a Cardinals uniform since being traded from. Yeah, the White Sox. The only problem with Fetty is that prior to getting traded, not very good. The start started to, shall we say, Eric Fetty starting to run out of gas. And now he lost his first start in a Cardinals uniform. Now on a very hot and humid night in St. Louis, he's a fly ball pitcher. That is not going to work out well, I think, with the Rays lineup, who will have a pretty easy go, and also very used to seeing him coming from the White Sox. Tampa Bay has already seen him a few times, so there will be nothing in this interleague matchup that's going to be different for the Rays. They know their starting pitcher. Taj Bradley, pretty good here. I like the Rays' chances. I certainly like the Rays' chances early in this one in the first five. And you can see his strikeout prop, 5.5 there. At plus money, I would not mind taking a little bit of a flyer on an over in that one there. And for another night here, by the way, we're all going to be focused on what the late game. There's actually two very late games here tonight that are of interest. One is in Seattle with Detroit taking on, or sending Scooble to the mound, by the way, taking on Kirby of Seattle. And the thing about this game is the total is 6. I'll repeat. 6. This isn't Scherzer, DeGrom back in the heyday. It's Scooble and Kirby. And 6 is your total for that one. Also Dodgers, by the way, and the Phillies. Stone against Phillips. Lot of money coming in towards the Phillies in this one. Is that money well spent? We got a lot more baseball to talk with you. Mark Zeno will be here this hour, our man Scotty Wetzel. We got much more to get to, so come back and join us another hour of Game Time Decisions coming up here on The Grid.